Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to another week and a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Cordell Stewart will join us coming up 20 minutes from now. Scott Hansen will join us at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific. And then we'll connect with two coaches, Mike Norvell, after Florida State's big-time beatdown up against LSU. He'll stop by at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And then Wyoming's coach, Craig Bohl, who had a big victory up against Texas Tech, will join us in the final hour of the show at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. But first up, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
So what a first true weekend of college football. We told you about Wyoming beating Texas Tech after going down 17. Duke just did a really good job last night crushing Clemson. And there are big-time concerns about the Clemson football program. As I mentioned, Florida State just absolutely destroyed and dominated LSU. But you go through all the games of the weekend, and there's a lot of things you could be impressed about. The most impressive performance, by far and away, is what Coach Prime Deion Sanders did with Colorado. I know there's a ton of changes to that program. They overhauled that entire roster. But that was a program that last year won one game. And after one game of Coach Prime's career in Boulder, Colorado, he has them at 1-0. And not only at 1-0, they defeated a team that was in the national championship game a year ago. So all those questions about Colorado, all those questions about Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, Deion Sanders, you go on and on and on and on and on. If you were a doubter, you're silent today. And I'm sure this will go either one or two ways. One, Colorado will continue to play at a really good level and will keep you quiet. Or, you know, the other way, if they lose to Nebraska this weekend, which I don't think is going to happen, even though that spread is a little funky and it may be a trap bet and maybe I'm falling for it, then all the haters will say, see, it was just a one-time wonder. But here was the part to me, and I said this to Deion when he was on this show 2 weeks ago. I've said it to Hickey numerous times when we were talking about the next step for Deion Sanders while he was at Jackson State. I always said, why not? Like, if you're a program that needs to be saved, or if you're a program that hasn't gotten things right and you're looking for a new coach, not that someone just left you for greater pastures, why not hire Deion Sanders? And I didn't hear a lot of great responses. Quite frankly, I heard a lot of bull crap, because we've seen so many of these hotshot offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators get opportunities, and a lot of them fall flat on their face. And college football is not just X's and O's, which, by the way, if you watch that Colorado team, how well prepared they were. So if you even just take away the X's and O's side of it, college football is a lot about entertainment and recruiting. And you know Deion Sanders is one of the all-time great entertainers. And you know that he would be excellent recruiting, playing the head honcho, the CEO of a university. Like, how many times do we talk about coaches like a Jimbo Fisher, James Franklin, and we go, wonderful, when you look at them on the recruiting trail, but their in-game management isn't the best. So if you knew bare minimum Deion was going to bring just a fire to your university, and he was going to bring palpable buzz to your university, and you were going to have people that normally wouldn't consider a university want to join, just if it's at 50%, why wouldn't you be willing to take the risk? And I commend Colorado, where their football program was in a miserable state, once a proud football program, saying, we want to go get Deion and we'll do it at whatever it costs. I give him credit for it. And after one game, they got rewarded. Because I was sitting there pounding the table for, like, Auburn to go get Deion Sanders. I wanted to see Deion Sanders in the SEC because it's not a question to me of can he succeed. I do think Deion Sanders can go to any college program and have some level of success. Now, how do you define success? Is it just being bowl eligible? Is it winning a national championship? At every school, it's different. But that's why I said going into this year with Colorado, if they got to 4 or 5 wins, and I was being more optimistic than most, that would be extremely successful. The program had 1 win a year ago. They've already matched their win total from a year ago after 1 game. And if you think it's just going to stop here, you're out of your mind. Now, I'm not telling you Colorado's going to be a top 10 team. I'm not telling you Colorado's going to win the Pac-12 because I don't believe that. But Colorado will definitely get to 6 wins this year. Colorado will definitely be bowl eligible. Because if you look at that team, what you saw up against TCU wasn't just, oh, a one-off with Shedeur Sanders. I guarantee you, as long as he stays healthy, Shedeur Sanders is going to be a first-round pick. He's that good. If you look at the numbers, it's one thing, but then you watch him play, yeah, how could 510 yards look bad and 4 touchdowns? But when you're watching that game and how many different guys he's finding, and you had 4 receivers go over 100 yards, it was a remarkable performance. I don't want to get all caught up in just one game where you go into like an all-time ranking, but that's like one of the best college football games you'll ever see a quarterback play. He was perfect. He was absolutely perfect in that contest. And then we get to Travis Hunter, who Deion was on this show, and he said he'll be a first-round pick. The biggest problem is NFL teams are going to try to make him play one side of the ball. He goes, he'll be drafted as a first-round pick in not only the secondary, but also as a wide receiver. And playing 100-something snaps, never looking winded at all, celebrating the locker room after the game. He goes for over 100 yards, receiving 119 to be exact, and he had that interception too. That dude is a top 5 exciting player in college football. We'll see how far he could take it, but it's kind of Ohtani-like, where he does something at an elite level that no one else does. And if you're not familiar with Travis Hunter, he was the man coming out of high school. And he linked up with Deion at Jackson State, and that story is well publicized. So you look at this team, the quarterback, great. Travis Hunter, one of the more exciting players in college football, if not the most exciting player in college football. How about Shiloh Sanders too? Guy had 10 tackles. He was dominant in that secondary. And you have Coach Prime, who you know he will always have you entertained. So will there be some bumps in the road? Absolutely. Now, this team is far from perfect. But after 1 game, I think a lot of people had a lot of questions going, and what will Deion Sanders look like at Colorado? He has now sucked you in, and he has you intrigued. And he has a lot of people believing. Now, tell me the last time, back in their glory days probably, when we were talking about Colorado football this much. Every show around the country, TV, radio, only on the internet, all they're doing is talking Deion Sanders, Deion Sanders, Deion Sanders. Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders. Travis Hunter, left and right. And this Colorado team, after 1 game, 1 game, they will be a bowl team. They play Nebraska this weekend. Nebraska had a miserable loss up against Minnesota. They should have won the game, and they fumbled it away and threw it away. After that, you play Colorado State. You know, bare minimum, you're going to have 2 wins. You may have 3. And if you're 3, you're halfway there. And then the schedule picks up with the Oregon and USC. Should be both losses. But then you play Arizona State, Stanford. You have UCLA. Oregon State's going to be tough. You have Arizona. You're at Washington State, and you have Utah. And you got some tough teams there. You're in the Pac-12. Maybe on paper, the best conference in college football this year, the most deep conference in college football. But there's no reason in year 1, and this is not a hot take, this is not just in the moment, you say something after 1 game, but if this team isn't a bowl team at the end of the year, bare minimum, that's a big-time disappointment. Because the talent you saw, the excitement you saw up against TCU, the coaching we witnessed up against TCU, There is so much there from the quarterback to then Travis Hunter, who plays both ways, to Shiloh Sanders, even the running back who caught three touchdowns and had 100 yards receiving. And, you know, they got to run the ball. They got to run the ball a little bit more, and we'll see if they can do that. But this is a quick, electric team, and this is a fun team. And they, by far and away, took the baton week one of college football, ran with it, and now everyone is reacting to Colorado. Think about this. People didn't even think they could get a few wins on the season. Today we wake up, and Colorado in the AP poll is ranked 22nd. So I'm in love with this Colorado story. I think it's awesome, and you wonder how far they could take it. My expectations from here on out, if I was at 4 or 5 wins before the start of the season, now it's go get a bowl game. Go to a bowl game. You do that in year one, man, I don't know how long Deion Sanders will last at Colorado. And I don't mean that as in terms of they're going to get rid of him. I'm sure they'll have Deion at Colorado as long as he wants to be there. But until another program comes calling, and a bigger program, and I said this from the start, he deserves a big-time coaching job. And I was a little disappointed to me to settle on Colorado, but that's where he is now. And look, after one game, all we're doing is talking about Coach Prime's program. Hickey, how'd you react to Colorado TCU? Because some would say Hickey was one of those doubters. Hickey was one of those non-believers in Coach Prime and what he could do when you talk about going to a team in the Power 5, even though like Colorado is not this football powerhouse.
Oh, big-time doubts. I will not hide from that. And I was, in at least week number one, proven very wrong. I don't think now all of a sudden everything most doubters have said of you can throw out the window and say you're an idiot, you're wrong. One game, it's a great game. They were tremendous. They took a lot of shots. They gave a lot back. The offense was way more cohesive than I ever would have thought for bringing all these new players and having the offense look as smooth, and defense too for the most part, when you needed a stop to play as smooth and cohesive as you could imagine. Considering, again, when you bring in, 60 new guys, I did not expect that week one to look as clean and as sharp as it did, but you beat TCU. Okay. This is the highlight
of the program. That's a pretty damn big win. It's after one game.
That's what I'm saying. This is the highlight. That's not exactly great.
Well, but
this is the highlight of the season. Beating TCU, okay. But like this go from here now. Let's go. Yeah, like you weren't hired to win one game.
After one game, when you just say, "Oh, this is the highlight of the season," it still makes me think that you're a non-believer with this Colorado team. Do you think Colorado will be bowl eligible by the end of the year?
Right now, I would still say no. They played one great game. They got a matchup that was favorable against a horrendous defense, against an air raid team that did not run the ball down the throat like they should have. Again, it's a great win. But like now, am I going to all change my expectations based on one win to now change to say they're going 6-6, 7-5? I'm not.
Let me ask you this. They played Nebraska this weekend. Win or loss?
Loss.
Colorado State the weekend after that?
Win.
Oregon?
Loss.
USC?
Loss.
At Arizona State?
Win.
Stanford?
Win, but tricky. Good offense.
At UCLA.
Loss.
Oregon State.
Loss.
Arizona.
Toss up. Where's that game? I'll say the home team wins.
Colorado.
I'll say Colorado wins.
At Washington State.
I'll say loss.
And then at Utah.
Loss.
So there is Hickey, the most critical person of the Colorado program, has him at 5 wins. Now that wouldn't be bowl eligible. You got to get to 6. But if that's being as critical as can be, and there's going to be a game that they're supposed to win that they lose, and probably vice versa, a game where they lose and they end up winning it. And I know that happened right up against TCU. I'm sure it'll happen another time this year. I would be really, as long as the quarterback and Travis Hunter stay healthy, I just don't see how this team doesn't get to 6 wins. And that's just the bare minimum. But if they're a bowl team this year, everyone's going to be jumping up and down like a fat kid in a candy store. And most of these bowl games don't matter, but if Colorado's at a bowl game, it's going to matter because of who the coach is. So where's your belief level with Colorado? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll take a break. Massive, massive show on this Tuesday. Cordell Stewart's going to join us on the other side. Scott Hansen coming up in hour number 2. Mike Norvell, fresh off his big victory up against LSU. He'll stop by in hour number 3. And then the 4th and final hour, Craig Bohl, the head coach at Wyoming, who defeated Joey McGuire in Texas Tech, will join us in the final hour of the program. Off and running, very busy Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show. We continue with Cordell Stewart next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Bought the lie. I can't find one. What a performance by Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, and Coach Prime in their big opening game victory up against a team that was in the national title game a year ago in TCU. Let's head out to the guest line, though, right now. Welcome in a legendary Colorado program. I know he's probably all fired up after his alma mater made a big statement in week one, and that is Cordell Stewart. Cordell, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
How you here, brother? How's everything?
I'm doing fantastic. So there's so many things to tackle here with what Colorado did. But to get that performance in the first game of the season, how did you kind of react to it? And just give me your thoughts on what your school's doing right now.
I mean, one, I was excited after talking to Prime and spending some time with him when I went back for the springtime, spent the week there with them. And totally different team. But some of the things that needed to get done, he spoke about, got done. He has the kids that wants to be there and the kids that he was looking for to make something like what took place this past Saturday happen. I'll say this, and I sent this in a text message, he can tell you. I honestly said I wasn't shocked because the guys that I know that's still on the team from when I was there last, like Dylan Edwards, he touched it 11 times for 150-plus yards for a touchdown. I saw that action from him when I was there and also watching him, you know, over the springtime and watching him play. He was doing that type of stuff. Travis Henry, same exact way. Travis Hunter, same exact thing. To Shedeur, the same exact thing. So and also Jimmy Horn Jr., the same exact thing. Those are the guys that I do remember seeing. And the work that they put in this past weekend where four receivers had over 100 yards catching, you saw what Dylan Edwards had. He had 11 touches for over 150 yards. And Shedeur threw for 510 yards, broke the record in the first game with 510 yards, shattered mine by 101 yards. So the sky's the limit for this team. Defensively, they had a bend-but-don't-break mentality, which was good to see considering with some of the big plays that took place against them. But when it mattered most, they stepped up to the plate, made the stops on fourth and nine, and caused them to turn the ball over. And we got it back and kind of kneeled down to end that game. So the sky's the limit, because if that was a game that caused you to be like, okay, they look really good with the mistakes that they've made, just imagine once they clean those up and how it will look as they move forward into a tougher schedule as you move forward playing against a good team in Nebraska, to CSU, to Oregon and USC and all that good stuff. So it's perfect. It's a perfect time to be a Buff. But most importantly, along with that, they did all that great work within a 3-month span because of the 50 some odd players that left to the 60 he brought in, and to see them play on all cylinders the way they did, I enjoyed it. I fell in love with it.
When you say the sky is the limit, you know, people hear that, they go, okay, Cordell thinks they could go all the way this year. I'm not ready to go there yet, and I've been a believer in this program, and I like Coach Prime a lot. But like, what are the expectations the rest of the way for this team? Like, you're that optimistic after the one game?
Well, the sky's the limit didn't say all the way. The sky's the limit says that each guy can play at their top level.
Gotcha.
But yet you'll have an opportunity to see what they can do once that happens, is what I say. But make sure we're clear, because sometimes you throw a little buzzword in there and the people say, well, Cordell said. No, I did not say that. What I said was the sky's the limit for as the talent is concerned, them playing on all cylinders, and just imagine if that happens. For me, you know, it's like anything else. You know, this is not a conventional way of looking at what's taking place right now. So you guys can't put your finger on it. You don't know what it is. You don't know how to add it up. You don't know how to put it in words. You don't know how to put it in context or anything, because, one, Prime is not like any other coach that you've seen. Travis Hunter, he's doing the work that you've not seen any other player do, other than maybe his coach that he has in Coach Prime. And maybe me having a chance to do something in Pittsburgh where I play receiver and quarterback, punt the ball, and play running back too as well. So you get a chance to see it now in college, to where it took a guy who did it actually before through his run throughout his career to allow it to be identified as something that these scouts, as well as these owners in these organizations, are going to have somebody in place to identify this the right way. If not, They're going to go through the conventional way of thinking and screw it up, because this is a very far and few between where you could actually have a guy put up 100-something-odd snaps, be as productive, and be the difference maker in some capacity overall, which you know they're going to be asking to do this throughout the season. So if you had to ask me the question, number one, we got to stay healthy. We have to stay healthy. We stay healthy, again, the sky's the limit, to where we can get to that place called there, which is what Coach Prime talked about in the very, very beginning. And that place called there is a great place. And that has championship wrapped all the way around it. If we can stay healthy, again, let me say it one more time. You know, we like to break this thing up when I say it. If we can stay healthy, we will have an opportunity to play for something special, and that is a championship. Now, is this a championship-caliber team? I'm going to tell you like this. If you call that a championship-caliber team and they're going to get better, what is it going to be later on down the road? Right? Because that was a team that went on the road in inclement weather, and what I mean by that, that weather is very humid. It was over 100-plus degrees. That team you saw in the Colorado Buffaloes didn't have anyone cramping up. And from what I understand, no injuries, but you saw TCU in their own climate cramping up and guys having to do a lot of rotating and calling timeout. So, you know, it plays into it. And I know you guys are going to question it and wonder this, that, and third, because you have to do your job, and I respect it. But football is football, guys. And when you see it and you see there's four guys with breakaway speed on offense, all four of those receivers, and you have a defense that had a bend but don't break mentality that we know for sure is going to get better, I like our odds playing the rest of the games throughout the rest of the season in every single game we play, because Coach Prime is going to have them battle-tested psychologically, emotionally, to where once they get out there, they won't be caught off guard at all. They'll be able to play fast and hard like we saw them play this past weekend.
When you look at what Shador did, Cordell Stewart, it was sensational. He's going to be a first-round pick when he declares for the draft. But the way that he spread out the football, to me, was the most impressive part of that performance.
No. I've seen him do it before. I watched him at Jackson State. I know everyone's questioned and wanted to question how he would play, and I think the impressive part, maybe for yourself, and I may be speaking for you, correct me if I'm wrong, is because he came from Jackson State and HBCU world, that to do it against a powerhouse team that was a national championship contending team, it will cause you to say that. It's a natural thing inside of the psyche and the mind and how you think, not you, but just in general, yeah, to say it had to be impressive. No, this is what he's been doing. Somebody asked me the question. Do you think he would be able to make it in the Pac-12? I asked this question. How many great quarterbacks or very good quarterbacks are in the Pac-12? You're telling me if we're playing from the bottom up, worst case scenario, he can't be in the middle of the pack? Worst case scenario. If you have an issue with him coming from HBCU football and we don't respect that style of football because it's not as good and don't have as many, you know, top five guy or, you know, great players, five stars, this, that, and third, that's what people may say. That may cause you to question it, but for me, I've watched him be at the top of his game in every single level that he's played on. Little League, high school, Barrett, at Jackson State. So now he comes in and do it at Colorado, and as he said, everybody get caught up into the hoopla and the hype and all this, that, and the third, to where you forget those guys were playing ball too. That ball was just as hard as the ball on this level. Now, don't get me wrong. The talent may be better on other teams as we move forward, and I'm sure they'll be prepared to step up to the level of play that they have to step up to in order to compete. But it doesn't shock me that Shador is playing this way. If anything, I'm glad he did put it down the way he did to let the world know this is what they're going to have to deal with the leader at the helm at number two out there doing it the way he did this past weekend.
Cordell Stewart here with us. Something I never got, and I said this to Coach Prime when he joined us 2 weeks ago, because I always thought he should get a big-time job. I even said 2 weeks ago, I thought you should have been the SEC and Auburn should have hired you. Why do you think people were so hesitant to see Prime get a big-time job in college football?
Because it's not conventional. It's crazy. So I'm on a football team coaching quarterbacks and wide receiver at the high school where I was, and I remember when his name came up about the Florida State opportunity.
Yeah.
And I remember some of the guys like, why would he get a hit on the third? And the only reason I'm sure that it became hard for me to get it, because I think he had to get his degree, I think, at that time. I'm trying to get the timing right, right? But it was all the questions about why shouldn't he, or he's not qualified. And I'm saying, okay, so if he's who he is with what he's done in his career, you've seen what he's done everywhere he's gone. If he's not qualified, then what's your excuse? Because you've been doing this for a long time. Yeah, I've asked that question. So what's your excuse? So why aren't you in the conversation about having a chance to get a job anywhere on the collegiate level? Listen, the disrespect is so huge, guys. You know, and I'm not saying you guys, but just as far as the question is concerned, this dude is a Hall of Famer. He's at the top of the food chain at the cornerback position. He's arguably one of the most dynamic to ever play the game on the NFL level and collegiate level, to the point where he takes these young kids, whether it's in the Little League, whether it's in the Under Armour, whether it's in high school, whether it's in college, and before he got to Colorado, and he's going to championships over and over. And all you have to think inside of that think tank that all of the things that he did when getting prepared to play, all the coaching that he received to get ready to play, don't you think he's pouring that into his kids? Or just like when raising your kids, if you had any success in your life as a businessman, a doctor, a lawyer, a politician of some sort, officer, military, if you had some form of success, what will you do to your kids that are coming up? You're going to give them that same flow of preparation and guidance. And if you were at the top of the food chain, what do you think they're receiving from him? So that moment that we saw last week, it didn't seem like they were shocked. They didn't look surprised. They didn't look like they'd been there before. And it makes them extremely frustrated and mad, because everyone's questioning if they belong or not, as well as Coach Prime. And people are going to become even more mad because they're not done. You know, I'm telling you, I've been there. I've seen it. I've been around him. They're not done. They have the talent. And to move 50-plus kids, whether they wanted to leave or it was a conversation, for them to lead to then him bring in another 60-plus kids and it's his kids, and he only had 2 to 3 months, maybe max 4, to get prepared for week one and do it the way he did it on the road against the national contending teams, I mean, perform the national championship, even though, I mean, they may have 5 returning starters on offense and defense, lost offense coordinator, defense coordinator, all that good stuff. Same head coach. For them to play that way, it makes you have to scratch your head to say, you know what, let me digress a little bit and pay attention a little bit more just to see, you know, what I can find. Because when you see that much talent performing the way they did, particularly the quarterback in Shador, it's Heisman Trophy conversation week one. If it was USC playing like this here on the road, it would be conversations, the same thing with Alabama, same thing with Florida State. It would be the same type of stuff if it was a guy coming from another school performing that way. But it's not, because it's all about Coach Prime and what no one wants to believe yet, because there's more you have to see. They got to play Nebraska. Yeah. That's a rivalry. Look at the rivalry and look how that happens. That's, you know, Nebraska's got the, you know, then all of a sudden it's the issue. It's an in-state rival. Oh, okay. Then all of a sudden it's Oregon, the Ducks. They got to go on the road. Can they? It's going to be over, and all you're doing is you're awakening a sleeping giant and Coach Prime and pulling more stuff out of the bag of tricks to get these kids psychologically prepared to play in these moments, because none of these moments are too big for him and his kids, for sure. I'm talking his biological kids,
sure. Yeah.
And Shiloh and Shador. It's the other kids, which he has a few that's come with him since Little League, like Dylan Edwards. He's been around him forever. To the few other kids that he's tapped into and had for some time. But, you know, it's like it's becoming very interesting in how things flipped over, you know, the last few days. But in all due respect to everybody's job, including mine and even his, you got to have some perspective, right? And things happen, and I get it. But you have to be intrigued and excited about seeing what's next the next time they come up, and that's going to be against Nebraska on Fox at 12 o'clock Eastern time. They're in Boulder, Colorado, baby.
Well, Cordell, this is what I would say, and I was always a proponent of Coach Prime getting a big-time job. It's like, how many times do I sit here? And let me preface by saying what he did the other day was a coaching masterpiece, but how many times do I talk about coaches that go, oh, they're more known for recruiting and their actual coaching isn't good. Just based off the potential recruiting and excitement that he brings to a program, that's why it was a no-brainer to me to give this guy a shot.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's the conventional way of thinking that doesn't fit in this. It just doesn't fit. He's an outlier. Like, it doesn't add up on – say it again.
He's 1-1.
Yes, it's an outlier. So it's not something you can put your finger – again, what do? And I've been in this seat too at ESPN and on a podcast that I've done before. And what do? You're trying to figure out what can you find that's familiar to what you know about what was done. And in this case, everybody's trying to press the right algorithm to determine what can come up on the screen, and they don't have it on a freaking pad. They don't have it on a computer pad. It's nowhere to be found to figure it out because he's a one-off. He's not coming from a Bill Belichick, line of work or a Nick Saban or anything like that. He's not. He's coming from Dion, and so when he comes from that space, it makes it hard for people, because you say he's got the antics and, he's rash and he's flashy and woo, and it doesn't translate to football. Well, it does, because he's given it to his kids.
And he's been doing it his whole life.
That's right. And he wants his kids to have that swagger and confidence and don't have to go through this thing of, well, you have to figure out what position you're going to play, because traditionally in the National Football League, they don't believe in that. It happened with me back in Pittsburgh. It's like, figure out what it is you want to play. Because we're going to bring in this kid, we're going to bring in this guy, because we don't think you're a real quarterback. We're going to bring in Kent Graham and have it. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't work. They put me back in, and it's still the same thing again. So it's like, he's not going to have to deal with that, because I think right now it's being put on blast in a sense of how you need to look at these players in college football. There are more athletes out there that have that ability to play multiple positions. This dude right here just have the it factor. He was doing that here in Georgia in high school. It looked wrong. It didn't even look right. It was like some video Tecmo Bowl type stuff. Stuff we used to play back in the day. So
he's not tired. He played over 100 snaps, elite level both ways. Like, Cordell, I was tired walking from watching the game to go getting ribs
weren't. You couldn't have been. Guys, y'all did this, and you guys played like this when you were playing when you were young. Think about this.
Not
go
me.
Back to your younger days. It's like we play all the positions on the football field. Coach Prime is just letting him do it and not questioning it because we need it. And he's letting him do it. It's just, again, we're going off of conventional thinking. You can't think that way with this. And this dude can be a number one or first round draft pick in both positions that he's going to be playing. Where they do that at? Well, you come up with that idea and that concept. It just doesn't happen based on what we've seen scouts and how they've gone about their business, to owners and even cities and what they appreciate. It just doesn't happen. We were one of those first teams in college, in the National Football League, that had that in Pittsburgh. No one appreciated it. But look at us now today. The highest paid players are who? Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson. What does that look like? And look at the first four picks in 2023. Who do you have out of three players out of four? What do you have? You have Young, Stroud, you have Richardson. Looks the same identical way. Times have changed, fellas, and it's going in a different direction. You better jump on board quick before it's too late. And then all of a sudden you got to say, well, you know what, guys? I got to eat crow. You don't want to eat that. Leave it alone. Jump on board. You don't have to be all the way on. Just ride your paddle boat behind the boat and follow it and just hang out for a little bit and give it a chance so that as you go about your business and watching this stuff, you can enjoy the game. Because after watching that game on Saturday, I promise you it was hard for me to watch anything else on television after that.
It was the best thing I saw in college football this past week. He is Cordell Stewart. Cordell, enjoy it. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, gents.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So we talked about how impressive Colorado was this past weekend. Maybe the most disappointing team, though, in college football from this past weekend was LSU. Now, I think the world going into the season of Florida State and LSU. Mike Norvell, who's going to join us later, and that Florida State program, they were my pick to win the ACC. And if you win the ACC, you could be a college football playoff team. And then for LSU, I thought going into the year they were the second best team in the SEC, and LSU would be a college football playoff team. And with how that game played out, and maybe there were some ominous signs early for LSU with how many times they were getting close and then turning over the football, but still, going into halftime, LSU's up by three. And what ended up ensuing in the second half was stunning. It really was. You know, praise Florida State and what they're able to do on both sides of the ball. But I didn't know who was going to win that game going in. You could have flipped the coin. I thought that would be a touchdown or less game with 2 minutes to go. And maybe going into overtime. Instead, the final score was Florida State 45, LSU 24. Now, Hickey, I see you tweeting up a storm, posting videos about Brian Kelly. But what's your take here on Brian Kelly?
He's officially on the hot seat at LSU. And if this doesn't clean up quick, he's getting fired this year.
You know how Deion Sanders says, give me my music? Give me your sounder real quickly here, hot take, Hickey.
Hot take Hickey is at it again. We have a hot take alert.
You think there's a chance he's going to get fired at the end of this season, Brian Kelly? I heard that correct.
They're sitting there 8-4, 7-5, absolutely. Absolutely. If he does not turn this around, how he should, schedule works out in your favor for the most part, but yeah, absolutely. He's not being brought back for a third year if you're sitting there with an 8-4 LSU team that was preseason top five and now is sniffing like the Citrus Bowl.
There is a 0% chance he gets fired at the end of the season. Because if you go through his contract, if he wins a national championship, which he hasn't done yet, I'll give it to you both ways here though, 100% of the money's owed. Right now, even if he doesn't win another game at LSU, bare minimum they owe him 90% remaining of that contract. We're talking like $90 million. I get it. That fan base is impatient. That fan base has got rid of Ed Orgeron 2 years, right? Year and a half after winning a national championship after one of the all-time great seasons. They only had to pay him $17 million. There is no way. I don't care what they do this year. And I do think they'll bounce back because like what you said with the schedule. But if they're going to have to owe him $90 million either way, you've seen it with Jimbo. And that got at a level of extreme ugliness. It's not going to get that bad for LSU, but there, I don't see how you could even say that there's even a chance that he gets fired if they're going to have to pay him $90 million to not coach the team.
Money's no object in the SEC. They don't care.
A&M doesn't?
They're about to pay Jimbo, what, $80 million? $75
million? Have they done it yet? Why did they fire him at the end of this year?
$75 million or whatever it is.
Why did they fire him at the end of last year?
They're too patient.
Because of money. That's why.
You don't think that Jimbo's getting fired after this year if they go 5-7 again?
I don't because of the money. I really do believe that. I know we could all say, oh, money's a non-issue. But when we're talking about here with Brian Kelly and $90 million, after last year going to an SEC title game, there's not a chance in hell that they fire this guy. And also, at worst case, they're going to have 3 losses this year. You think LSU's going to have more than 3 losses this year? Even after that catastrophe the other night. Grambling, Mississippi State, Arkansas. You have a tough game against Ole Miss, Missouri, Auburn, Army. You play Alabama, tough game. Florida, Georgia State, A&M. They only have three losses. Even if they get to 4 losses, you're not firing a coach after a 4-loss season. I get it. There's national championship aspirations, but there's a money component to it here.
Coach O was fired a year and a half after winning a national title.
$17 million.
Okay, that's fine. Honestly, I don't think the money would have mattered. Coach O could have got $70 million. I think they were fine no matter what. They want to win titles. They brought Brian Kelly in to win a title. Not to win the SEC West.
Sure.
Not to be preseason top five.
Mm-hmm.
You get blown out the way you did. And again, I think they're going 10-2. And I think they're going to be back in the SEC title game. So this should be a moot point anyway. But if things... When you hear Brian Kelly talk and this team is not ready to play, which is an indictment directly on him, they're reading their press clippings, they bought into the hype, and things don't change.
All understood.
I don't see you can't bring him back.
Yes, you can.
And LSU will not bring him back. I'm telling you right now. I'm
$90 million.
I'm flipping the rules here for a second. You like to say that I sometimes use logic too much.
You're naive.
You are using too much logic
here. No, I'm not.
This is college football.
It's 90 million.
In the South. They, I promise you, they don't
okay.
care.
Okay.
They don't. Yep. Again,
no
if they're
7-5,
oh my
goodness,
he's getting
gracious.
Fired.
This is the dumbest
I don't
thing
think
I've
ever he's heard. Getting going 7-5. You don't think he's going 7-5. But if they do go 7-5, he's not back for year three. I can promise you that.
Million.
Well, it's like $80 million because he got 95.
Oh.
He's been there 2 years.
Okay.
You'll see.
Guy making $100 million. All right, over 10 years. All right, give me a break here. $90 million, $80 million. You have to go down a lot further than that to make me say that Brian Kelly, after 2 years, is going to get fired. But I'll see. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, geez, Louise, what a start to the week. That was some take. Well, come on back. Five questions, five answers. We call this segment Onside Offside. Scott Hansen still to come in about 25 minutes from now as well.